is all right, it will take to the same goal because there is only one goal. Now the Lord is telling how to develop bhakti, devotion to the Lord. So what does he say? You have texts. Mayeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva atha utvam na samshaya. Mayeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva atha utvam na samshaya. Fix your mind on me only. Place your intellect in me. Then thou shalt no doubt live in me hereafter. Hereafter means not after death, not post-mortem state. That means the moment we can keep our mind on God and our intellect on God. Thereafter, where do we live? We live in God only. In fact, this is a wonderful shloka again. The shloka is wonderful. So, where do we live?
In the world.
Now where are we living?
In the world.
In the world. Where was Ramakrishna living?
In the world.
What is the difference?
His mind was not in the world.
So? Where is he living?
Without contact.
In God.
In
yeah.
God.
You know, once Gopal Erma had come and she was in a very peculiar state from outside, for all outsiders. What was Sri Ramakrishna saying? She is not here. Now she has gone to Goloka. Where was her body? Here. Where is her mind?
Goloka.
To understand this fact, dream is a very helpful example. Suppose you are sleeping here and you are dreaming you are in India. Where are you? So, you are here. He is listening to the class, but you are thinking of office. Where are you? You are here downstairs and you are thinking of cooking something. Where are you? You know, this useful illustrations to say that we live, our body doesn't know where it is. What is it that knows where we are?
Mind.
It is only our mind. So, where does the mind usually live? It lives in what is called reality. What is real for it? It lives in it. So, each one of us have our own realities. Supposing somebody is very much frightened of a ghost and he is constantly thinking of ghost. So where is he living?
In the ghost world.
In a ghost world. So if a wicked man is living in which world? Wicked world. A man who is suffering terribly, where is he living? In Naraka. A man who is tremendously happy, where does he live? In Swargaloka. A man who constantly thinks of Brahman, where does he live? So, that is why in Bengali, a lok, for man, the Bengali word is lok, bhalo lok, kharab lok, manchi manishi, chidda manishi. Bhalo lok, lok means what? Loka, bhuloka, bhuvarloka, swarloka, swargaloka. Loka means what? Wherever a man lives, that is his world or her world. That's why it's a beautiful word, lok. So that is the meaning of upasana. Somebody wants to go to Brahma Loka. Then what does he do? He does upasana Brahma. Then what happens to him? He becomes Brahma. Then where does he live? In Brahmaloka. Somebody is constantly thinking of Vishnu. Where does he live? Vaikuntha. Somebody is constantly thinking and becoming one with Shiva. Where does he live? So the idea I am trying to convey is Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, these are not beings. These are states of consciousness, states of mind. So, how to attain to this state where we can constantly remember God? So here, there are three steps, rather even three steps he has given from the higher to the lower, how to attain to that state. But the important thing, the essential sadhana is fix your mind on me. So what does the mind consist of? What does the mind consist of? Thoughts. So this is the first thing. You know, there are two faculties called mind and manas and buddhi. So specially he mentions these two. He has separated mind and buddhi, manas and buddhi. So what is the difference between these two then? So supposing you know you want to do something. The first command you give to your mind is you are not able to decide. You want some decision has to be made. Then what is the first command you say? Get more information. Is it not? Then think pros and cons. The decision comes only depending upon the data you feed. So the mind is in usual terms, what do we say? The thoughts. So if we can make our thoughts all related to God, then that is the first step. How can we make our mind related to God? So mind is restless. So use that restlessness, but all connected with God. If you have to desire God, then desire God. So how does the mind function? The mind always is filled with emotions. What are those emotions? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. So, if the mind is filled with Kama, Kama means desire. So, fix that desire on God. I want God, I want God, I want God. I am angry with God, I am angry with God. I am greedy of God, I am greedy of God. This is what Thakur says. Mod Firyada. Connect with God. They will be there. So, how can we do? Do puja, hear devotional songs, and listen to satsanga talks, or write something. Likhita japa. South India, likhita japa is very popular. Likhita japa is considered as greatest wealth. How much you are going to donate to our ashrama? So I will donate Swamiji 1 lakh ramna. So there are ashramas which conduct, but likhita japa yajna, Ananda ashrama especially, you know, Swami Ramdas ashrama, Kanangal. So every year they conduct this. We want 100 crores likhita japa. They will invite devotees. Who are going to contribute? Who is willing to contribute? How much they are willing to contribute? So they send some notebooks, you know, ruled notebooks. So write, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. So many people spend hours together only writing. So every page contains certain numbers. Fill up these pages. Send it to the ashrama. And at the end, you know, 1 crore or 50 crores or 100 crores, there will be a big puja. All these will be offered to Lord Rama and devotees will sing the Ramnam. That is one ashrama. 24 hours Ramnam is going on. By turns. It's a wonderful ashrama that Swami Ramdas had done. So far as I know, that is the only ashrama that 24 hours Ram Nam is going on.
Maharaj, on Ram Navami day or every day?
Every day.
Every day?
365 days. They entertain a lot of guests. So for 3 days, any guest can stay free. The ashrama provides food. Other day, if they want to extend their stay, many stay for months together. So they can stay in a paid guest room. Nearby there are good restaurants, very cheap meals, you know. In those days 5 rupees, now I think it might be more. So decent vegetarian food will be provided. That's it. They have breakfast, lunch, supper there. Rest of the time they spend. So they stay in every devotee 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours, like that. 12 devotees are there, 24 hours. They all constantly, his mantra, Maha mantra is Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. His initiation is also Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram.
Where is it located?
Near Mangalore. Yeah. So it is, I haven't visited, but some of our Swamis visited, many devotees visit the place. And it's a wonderful ashrama. So this is one way you can do Likhita Japa. If your mind is too restless, take a book and go on writing your Ishtamantra, your some name, not mantra, but your name of God. Ramakrishna, Jai Ramakrishna, or Jai Sharada Devi, or whatever it is. So this is one way. Go to the temples. And like this, use these same restlessness of the mind, so that the thoughts are all connected with God. That's why rituals, Hinduism was so successful in producing so many saints, because its rituals are elaborate and enormous. So that whatever some people do garlands, you know, in Bangalore, devotees do garlands. They spend every day 4 to 5 hours. And with each flower, they go on silently uttering their mantra, and it is so much patience is needed. Kanakambara antame, this big garland they make out of kanakambara. What is the English name for kanakambara? No.
Orange.
There is a crossandra or something, firecracker or something they call it.
Almost kind of the asterisk color.
No, every imaginable color is there. It's a very pleasing flower. No fragrance. White, pure blue, pure dark blue, light blue. And I have not seen green, excepting
for... Light green is there.
Is there? Nowadays, you know, and they make it so colorful. Yeah, Bangalore Ashram. Every day devotees supply. In South Indian temples, you see, andal and all those, these thick garlands they make, and out of the small flowers. So that is sadhana for them. That's why in South Indian temples they call it seva. Andal's father, Vishnuchitta, his seva was Kainkarya, was making only garlands. So, various ways, some people, they have the Ramcharitamanas or Bhagavatam or Ramayana. Continuously, for 3 days, they must complete it. So like that, there are people who go on completing Ramayana, Bhagavatam, again and again and again, according to their taste. So this is the first step. Fix the thoughts on God. Then what happens? The buddhi, the intellect, slowly it decides, its power of decision comes. I love God, I want God. In the beginning it is not easy to say that I would like to have God. We have to advertisement. Mind is the advertising agency. But you have to make it advertise the right things. Yeah. So, mai eva manaha athatsva. Fix your mind on me. Mai buddhim niveshaya. Then the buddhi, the decisive factor says, So how does it say? What is it that makes the Buddhi decide? There is only one factor which makes the Buddhi decide. All decisions are made only with one factor. What is that factor? Happiness. If you don't get happiness in anything, you would be very reluctant to do it. But this happiness from God comes only, it takes time. It is not easy like you eat a sweet, even if you have never eaten before, immediately you get happiness. So if you don't like sweet, your Buddhi doesn't make the decision, I want to eat this sweet again. But once you have got happiness from it, the Buddhi says, I want that, I want that, I want that. So this is the difficulty we have in the beginning of spiritual life, because we are already accustomed to get pleasures and small happinesses from world, because it is instantaneous. But to get happiness from God takes a long practice. Khete khete bhaloi lakchi. Takes time. Tinaga tinaga veyamu tiyya navuno. Anchiptar gada. So God's name is like a neem leaf or karaira in the beginning. Takes long time. But karaira, neem leaf are very good food. Later on your body will be so pure, so healthy. But in the beginning, we have to force it. Let's say this is God's name, spiritual life looks like kashaya in the beginning. That is why for yoga, they say there are four obstructions. For spiritual progress, four obstructions are there. What are those? Laya, vikshepa, kashaya, rasaswadana. Laya means what? So you tell to the mind, sit and do japa or meditation, promptly it attains laya yoga. This is what I call, you know, talk samadhi. So japa samadhi. Japa samadhi means, you know, you get so bored, you go to sleep. If you can overcome that, then the mind becomes terribly restless, scattered. Vikshipta bhumanas. Vikshipta is the second obstruction, even more subtle than laya. If somehow we can control it, then your mind is concentrated. But it doesn't want to concentrate. Why? Because spiritual life tastes like kashaya. Third obstruction.
What is kashaya?
Kashaya, Ayurveda medicine, bitter medicine they give. Shishima was telling, for some disease, some Ayurvedic medicine had given her kashaya. He says, after eating that kashaya, for even after 3 days, still it is jibya lege hache. I can't enjoy anything. It is still lingering on the tip of the tongue. I can't enjoy anything like that. So only after that, rasaswadana comes. In true joy in spiritual life comes.
But that's not an obstacle.
That is an obstacle, because once we start getting that joy, you see, it is so intoxicating, we don't want to go further. You see, a person is climbing a mountain. He had climbed sufficiently to have a beautiful scene spread in front of his eyes. It is so enjoyable. And it is so enjoyable also because he is tired, he walked a long way up. If you ask him, come on, let us move further, the top has to be reached. He says, no, another 5 minutes, another 5 minutes. Because further up means, first of all, you have to lose what you are enjoying. Secondly, it is even more troublesome. You know, climb in the beginning is easier. Progressively it gets difficult and more difficult. And in the end, you know, you get exhausted. But once you reach the peak, then you are very, very happy. Actually, you know, many mountain climbing expeditions, the topmost is not very pleasant. Say, somebody climbs the Mount Everest. What do you see? Bleak view. Everywhere there is some snow is there. Very cold, bitterly cold. Where is the same bleak, nothing, no scenery, nothing is there. But the enormous satisfaction to the ego, I achieved. It is that joy. That is why, how long they stay there? Immediately, after 5 minutes, I saw a beautiful cartoon, you know. Two fellows have taken the trouble to climb the highest mountain peak. And one fellow is furious with the other fellow. What do you mean? Well, forgot to bring the janda.
Forgot to bring the flag.
So, God realization is the peak, but this analogy doesn't work there. That is the highest type of bliss. So, any rational man is tired, so many years maybe he is struggling, and then starts enjoying, and he doesn't want to forego that one, it is intoxicating. So, that is why rasasvadana. It happened to Thakur also, and he had the vision of mother. He said that now immerse your mind in the highest. But he says, my mind is filled with mother. I am unable to remove that mother from the mind. You know, mind, what is that mother? For us, you know, whenever we say mother, it is like the blind man thinking that the mother is trying to feed the crane. What is mother? Intense bliss. That is why the mind says, no, I don't want to give this up. But there is still higher bliss is there. If he wanted to go to that, then he has to forego this. And the mind was intoxicated, it doesn't want to leave. That's why he said, I can't do it. So what did Totapuri do? A piece of broken piece of glass appears. When he pierces, you know, what happens, Vasu?
Pain
comes. Pain is the opposite of
pleasure.
Pain also formless. So from form to formlessness. From dualistic bliss to non-dualistic bliss. And he was able to do it. Nobody can do it without the grace of the Divine Mother. Because she has to go. If she does, Mahamaya opens the door. That means what? She removes herself. Ma Sita listens to the prayer of Lakshmana and says, okay Baba, I am, going out of your way. Have the vision of your Ishta Devata to your heart's content. So that is the thing that everybody has to do it. So the Lord is telling that fix your mind on me and your intellect. Intellect means buddhi means here what? That the buddhi says, understands that the highest bliss comes only from God and nothing else. That is the key. The buddhi decides only on one criteria. Happiness and more happiness. That's all. Suppose that you are accustomed to eat one sweet and after some time somebody brings another sweet which is much superior to the old sweet. So immediately your buddhi says, I want that new sweet, isn't it? So why is it telling? Because the ananda from the new experience is much higher. Suppose it is lower, then what will it say? That was not, this new one is no good, the old one was much better. So that is the only criteria. Nivasi shesimayeva ataha urdvam na samshayaha. If you can do these two, let your thoughts be on me only, and let your buddhi also decide or understand that I am the only goal. Now see what happens. There are two steps. First step is fix your thoughts on me. The second step is let your intellect understand correctly that you get more joy from thinking on me. Once the buddhi understands that, then the mind need not struggle, because the mind only follows the buddhi. So what was the mind doing before the buddhi decides? The buddhi only has given order to the mind, find out where I can get the highest joy. So the mind is searching and it gives information. So you know, you sing, you hear these songs, it is very joyful. You eat this food, it is very joyful. You smell this fragrance, it is wonderful. So the mind is also searching. And you see, your what is called lower understanding tells you satsanga is good, then the mind tries it and says, you know, I tried it, but there was no joy in it. The buddhi says, but the buddhi says, okay, you try again, try again. Then after a lot of struggle, the mind says, I think I missed it, but now I get it. Yeah. That is what, you know, happens. That's why it takes time. This is one of the things we have to understand. Otherwise, everybody will come running. Why so few people come for these classes and for all those things? Is it because they are bad people? No. They are getting more rasa outside. They don't get that rasa now. And to get this rasa, so we have to go on doing it. It is not that all of you are getting highest rasa from this. You are only thinking, how long is this class going to go? Okay. So that is our goal, to fix our buddhi on God and to fix our thoughts on God. That is our final goal. But it is very difficult. Therefore, the Lord is telling the next verse, Atha chittam samadhatum nashaknoshi mayi sthiram abhyasa yogena tato mam icchatum dhananjaya. So, atha chittam samadhatum na seknoshi mai sthiram. Beautiful word. Sthiram means it is completely fixing the mind on me. So what happens? A minute mind goes on God, then it goes to something else. Again we try to bring it, again and again and again we have to do it. So that to do it without giving up again and again, that is called అభ్యాస. అభ్యాస తెలుగులో కూడా చాలా అభ్యాసాలు ఉన్నాయి. మొదట ఎందుకు పరీక్షలో ఫెయిల్ అయ్యావో, గ్రహపాటు. రెండోసారి ఎందుకు ఫెయిల్ అయ్యావో, పొరపాటు. మూడోసారి ఎందుకు ఫెయిల్ అయ్యావో, అలవాటు. వినలేదా? సో యు నో ఎ బాయ్ ఫెయిల్డ్. His father was furious. Why did you fail? He says, the stars were not in favor. Second year also he failed. Why did you fail? It's my mistake. Third year also he failed. Why did you fail? Boy was furious. What do you mean by why did I fail? Now it has become a habit. But it rhymes well, you know. Graha patu, pora patu, ala patu. So, this abhyasa, this both helps us, also hinders us. It is not the fault of the abhyasa. What abhyasa we do, that is important. So, you go on thinking of God, make a practice of it, that is helpful. go on thinking of worldly things, that drags us down. Abhyasa is very necessary. So the Lord is telling Abhyasa Yoga. Thakur uses this word Abhyasa Yoga. Somebody complains, I am unable to fix my mind on God. He says, why? There is something called Abhyasa Yoga. Yes, it works. It works. So, tata mam icha aptum dhaninjaya. You make a practice of keeping your minds on me, then ultimately a desire will come that your mind only wants me. It is not easy to desire God. You know, God's is a failed business from the beginning. Do you know that? You didn't know. God's business is a business like any other business. If for any business to be successful, three conditions should be fulfilled. What are those three conditions? First of all, the material should be available only very little. If it is available more, you see, the supply is more than the demand, then what would be its value? Will the business flourish? Second condition is, there must be people to want it. Third condition is, that people must be able to afford it. So what is God's business? First of all, God is everywhere. He is much, much, much more supply than any demand. Then there are very few people who want it. Third is, the price is so high. No wonder people, even that those few people who would like to want to him, perhaps they get discouraged. So, if you are unable to fix your mind steadily on me, then by Abhyasa Yoga, you will seek to reach me, O Dhananjaya. Earlier also, in the 6th chapter, there is this question of Arjuna, that it is so vayoriva sudushkaram, to control the mind is as ghoreshara chari dhare, mathir maje akash dhara ghoreshari chari dhare. You know, it is like trying to catch hold of the akasha. It is like trying to hold on to the wind. But what the Lord says, it is true, but it is not absolutely true. Abhyasa vairagya abhyam tan nirodhaha abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena se grihyate. The mind comes under control through abhyasa and vairagya. We have abhyasa to some extent, but we don't have vairagya. What is vairagya? Telling to the mind again and again that this is the best thing that can happen to in one's life. To enter into spiritual practice is the best thing. How can we think or make the mind think that this is the best thing? By doing satsanga, by prayer, by doing good actions. So that is why it is said, dharma, karma. You see, there is Vedas, I said, were divided into two parts. Purva bhaga is karma kanda, uttara bhaga is jnana kanda. But actually it is divided into four parts. Karma kanda, dharma kanda, upasana kanda, jnana kanda. So the first two, karma, not merely karma, but dharma karma. Then, not merely jnana, first step is upasana. Upasana means contemplation, meditation. And then only jnana comes as a result of it. So, that is why many people are unable to discriminate between jnana marga and jnana as the ultimate goal. So, this jnana marga is upasana. Bhakti marga is a upasana. Bhakti is the end result. Jnana marga is upasana. Jnana is the end result. Yeah. Just like, you know, a medical student, 6 years, So until he gets the certificate, what is that he is doing?
Upasana.
At the end of it, he gets the knowledge. I mean, it is not a compartmentalized statement. From the beginning, he gets 1% knowledge. Second year, he gets, 20% knowledge, 30%, then 70%, then 100%. So that is how Upasana Kanda is there. So, what is Vairagya here? Vairagya means slowly, slowly to purify the mind and convince him. What is purification here? We use the word Chittashuddhi, purification. What is purification in this instance?
Getting rid of the old habits.
You know, the understanding, the knowledge that worldly pleasures are far inferior compared to spiritual pleasures. To get that knowledge, that is called Chittashuddhi. To the extent, we, it is compared to traveling in a tunnel. So a long tunnel, 1 mile tunnel, and the train is going. When we reach the middle of the tunnel, complete darkness. But as we are approaching to the other end, first a very faint light appears. Very, very aspasta. You see things. This is a 1% light, 99% darkness. What does it mean? 1% light, what does it mean? 1% of the darkness has disappeared. So when you reach end of the tunnel, 100% light means what? 100% darkness disappears. Upasana, you see, we do little. That means the mind is 1% convinced that there is some joy in spiritual life. 99% it is convinced there is joy only in worldly life. As we go on doing, slowly, that means as the mind becomes purer, it allows more knowledge to come in, and the darkness, of, proportionately the darkness also goes out. This is called Chitta Shuddhi. It is not that it is a vessel. You take some tamarind and go on scrubbing it. It is knowledge. Ajnana Mala is removed, and Jnana Prakasha will be manifest. This is the idea of Chitta Shuddhi. So here when he says Abhyasa Yoga, he is not merely telling mindless practice. He is telling about Abhyasa goes along with Vairagya. Proportionately, Abhyasa Vairagya should be together. So suppose a person is unable to do even this Abhyasa. Because many people cannot even do up to do abhyasa also, you must have some kind of willpower and some kind of joy should be there. Otherwise, abhyasa cannot continue for a long time. So he says, Abhyase pyasamarthosi madkarma paramo bhava madartham api karmani kurvan siddhimapsyasi. So this is the at the gross level. To control the thoughts is a difficult task. But to do actions is much easier. That is why so many rituals are introduced. Very easy to do rituals. We are already accustomed to do lot of activity. So only thing is those activities would be spiritual activities. So the Lord is telling, if you are unable to practice abhyasa, you be intent on doing actions for my sake. Even by doing actions for my sake, you will attain perfection. Perfection means what? By doing actions, one doesn't attain perfection. By doing actions, what happens? The Abhyasa Vairagya becomes strong. When the Abhyasa Vairagya becomes strong, that will not bring perfection. It will take us to the next higher step, which is the Buddhi understands the joy can be got only from God, and the mind will be completely thinking only about God. So, do karmas, because doing karmas is far easier than trying to make your mind think of me. But there are people who are also unable to do that. Even actions, it could be for various reasons. One reason may be that the person is suffering from some sickness, for example, or he is old. So what karmas he can do? So there are situations. We will also become like that. If we live long enough, we will also become old. Hardly we are able to maintain our life. How very the question of doing anything else, if we can look after ourselves, not depending upon others, is good enough karma.
अथैतदप्यशक्तोऽसि कर्तुम् अद्योगमाश्रितः सर्वकर्मफलत्यागं ततः कुरु यथा आत्मवान्
इफ् यु आर् अनेबल् टु डु ईवन् दिस् देन् टेकिङ्ग् रेफ्यूज् इन् मी अबाण्डन् दि फ्रूट् आफ् आल् एक्षन् बीङ्ग् सेल्फ् कण्ट्रोल् सो वट् इस् इट् लिङ्ग् हियर् इफ् यु केनाट् असोसियेट् एवर् एक्षन् वित् मी then go on doing the actions which you are accustomed to do. That means you are vidyukta dharma. If you are a housewife, you have certain duties. If you are in the office, you have certain duties. Go on doing that. But you try to offer the results of those karmas to me. That means you say, oh Lord, I have done my duty. I looked after my patients. I taught my students and I did my office job, but you know, sarva dharma sarva loka namaskaram keshavam prati gacchati. That all the results will I offer it to you. You say it, O Lord, I offer this result to you. And then, as we had already discussed, the Lord, does he need anything? Then what happens to the result of the karma? So, if we offer the results of our karmas to God, two things happen. You know what happens? We get back a billionfold the results, proper results, which ought to come as the natural sequence of doing any action. But along with that, the grace of God also will come as bonus. Otherwise, if somebody does dharma karma, the dharma result will come. But here, not only the person does dharma karma, because it is offered to God. You see, if you give one fruit to your mother, how many fruits are you going to get? Yeah, if you take, you only take that much. But if you allow others to give it, then you get many, many fold. Which charity?
Please tell them the story. It's wonderful.
You all know that story.
No,
you know. And once I start telling, you may well recall. There was a man who used to go shopping, fruits, vegetables, these, that. He had a small son, 3-4 years old son. And one day the father went there. That was season for Regi Pandu. Goose bear or whatever.
Cool bear.
Bear.
Yeah.
So he went there. There was, you know, on these carts, four-wheeled carts, heaps of these fruits will be there. So the father bought something else from that man. Every time he buys from that man, so seeing the small child, the cartwala said, my son, take, there is as many, as much as you can. But the boy, you know, glaring at the fruits, unwinkingly, abhyasa yoga. he became perfect. You know, any child, if there is food, what do you think he will do? How quickly the answer came.
You know.
So, but he was not taking. The man, the cartwala, repeated, my son, take. But he was, so the cartwala thought, maybe this boy is very shy. So he took his own hands and immediately the boy put up his shirt and all the fruits he took, and they both were returning. Then the father knew his son. He said, "You rascal, when the man asked you to take, why did you not take?" So he looked up and said, "Daddy, don't you understand? See, my hands are small." You see, if he takes even two handfuls, it will be very small. But if that man gives, then it will be at least four or five times bigger, more quantity he will get. So, if we offer to God, then do you think God will take it, your fruits? He will give you the karma phala. He will never, you know, deceive you. But along with that, his joy, his pleasure, see what is called kataksha, kripa kataksha, he is pleased. And that is, that pleasure of God is what really purifies us. It acts like a hook and pulls us towards Him. That is why the Lord is telling, okay, you don't need to do any special religious activities. You go on doing what you are doing. But offer all the fruits of your actions to Me. By that way, your mind will be purified. So, when we sincerely offer the fruits of all actions to God, what is the change that takes place in our mind?
Stop worrying about the result.
Not only that, that is a negative result. But there are positive results. Okay, supposing you invited some people for a party. You made wonderful dishes. But nobody is saying any thanks to you. Will you not get hurt? You may not say anything, you are not expecting anything, but at least you say, oh, your cooking was very good. If they say, you will be pleased. That much, or thank you, like that some words, or belch, if you are in a Chinese, you do belching. So, some way to convey that really the person appreciated your efforts. If he doesn't say anything, or if he puts a sour face and tells you thanks, then no, you understand. It's only formality, he doesn't really mean it. We are not deceived by it. So that we become disappointed. But from the beginning itself, if we don't say thanks, if we don't expect thanks or anything in return, then whatever your mind remains absolutely
calm
and quiet immediately. The moment you are expecting something, it may be fulfilled, it may not be fulfilled. If it is fulfilled, of course you are happy. But if it is not fulfilled, then you will be in trouble. Not only that, if you are expecting something, even deeper hurt will come. You know, supposing you are inviting people, we are having some new party, please come, and they will come. Next time again, you have something, some other occasion, again we invite. They are only coming to your party, they are never inviting you. You see, if you are expecting, then this also you expect, since I invited, why they are not inviting in return? Many things like that. But if you are not expecting anything, I do it to please my God, because I have to do it. Then what happens, whether they invite or not, you are very, very peaceful and calm and quiet. This is only a simple example, but this can apply to every one of us. You are giving an interview. If you are expecting, I should get a job, then you are disappointed. But if you are not expecting, okay, if it is God's will, I will get a job. Otherwise, no. Then your mind remains very peaceful. Otherwise, I have seen people, you know, there was one doctor, not one doctor, there were quite a number of doctors, and they wanted to do, what is that, some special courses there for doctors.
FMLA
or something. FRCS or something.
FRCS, that is British degree.
British degree. So there are many doctors But most of them fail 3, 4, 5 times.
Mm.
And it is every time they have to pay very high fee.
Oh.
It is not that without paying you can appear. They have, but they any number of times you can appear. So there are people 3 times, 4 times, they prepare well for months and months and months, and when the result comes, they are fails. So one lady told me, Maharaj, I am disappointed. I don't want to give up to write exams again. I told, no, you persist, because this is the experience of many people. You are not specially targeted to be failed. And then last time she said, no, I don't feel like it all. I said, no, you must do it. She has a child, she has to work normal work, she has to prepare, she has to look after the child and all that, but she did it. And then she passed.
Oh.
What joy it is, you know. So this is also one example. If you expect to be passed, then you are, if you pass, that is fine.
Yeah.
But if you fail, then that becomes a great disappointment. But if you say, I will do my best, let Thakur's will, let him do whatever he wills. If we have that attitude, then disappointment will be much, much less. And this kind of attitude doesn't stop only with this one instance or two instances. This must be extended to everything. So that is why in married life these problems always crop up. So my husband never appreciates me. Telugu lo undi kada porugintu pulla kora vachi ani. Did I tell you about that story? No? There is a saying. His neighbor's sour curry is tastiest, the husband goes on telling. Whatever the wife does, he says the housewife next, neighbor's wife, whatever she does, it is excellent. Never appreciates what his wife does. One day she decided to teach him a lesson. When he was eating, oh, I forgot, my neighbor's wife, I had prepared something for you. And she ran and brought in a guinea vessel and kept it. And he ate it. Oh, what a marvelous thing. Then she gave him one and said, stupid fellow, that is cow dung. He was not appreciating the curry. She was appreciating the housewife.
So his taste buds were not acting, Maharaj.
What I am saying is, this is a common human. No. There is a law, psychological law is there. Psychological law is whatever our mother feeds us from the time we are eating, that becomes the tastiest. That is why even after marriage is nothing like my mom prepares. But every housewife is not an expert in cooking. But there is something much extra comes from mother's hands. That is what is the most tastiest thing. Mother's love is there in every grain of what mother feeds the baby. So we become accustomed to particular tastes. What we are accustomed is tasty for us. Don't you see? There is nothing called best taste somewhere outside there. Whatever we are accustomed to eat, that brings us, you are preparing such nice things. Give to an average American who is never accustomed to eat your Indian curry, see what happens. Yeah, Swami Vivekananda is a marvelous cook. According to whom?
American.
No. Americans. Now and then he wanted to pull their legs. He says, I will cook for all of you, my disciples. Hearing that, Kripananda used to tear his hair. Hearing that he is going to prepare, then he starts tearing his hair. For two reasons, you know. One reason is, every day they were only accustomed to wash 4 or 5 vessels. The way Swami Vivekananda prepares, at a minimum of 50 vessels they have to wash. Because he will only cook. Washing part is like the children, you know, trying to please, they want to do special presentation on Mother's Day. You know, there was this Danish demoness. One day he says, Mom, I will cook for you today. What can she say? Smilingly, yes, my son. And then he finished his cooking in 10 minutes. After that, you know, that cartoon. The whole kitchen, drying room, everywhere broken vessels, fallen food. After that, who will do the cleanup? Father's Day. On Father's Day, he said, Father, I will take you for a walk. So, a little bit walked. Father said, shall we return? He said, No. I want to take you long distance. And what can the poor father do with long distance? And for 1 or 2 hours they walked. And then he said, yes, let us return. By that time, he's going, somehow he reached. While coming back, he had no energy.
Then
he was dragging. Then suddenly he said, Dad, do you know, both of us need not walk. After sitting there, he was asking, Dad, why did you not think of it earlier?
Adding salt to the wound.
So, these things happen, you know. Taste, we are creatures of habits. In many, most of the things, even what we call beauty, we are creatures of taste. These, what is called, Jung divided people into 4 color categories. The white, the yellow, the black, and the brown.
Chinese, Japanese.
Characteristics, ethnic characteristics, racial characteristics. And you see, the white people, they are enormously proud. We are very beautiful. So when they go to Africa, everybody looks like an ugly animal to them. And they used to see how beautiful we are. But then, in the eyes of the black people, these are the ugliest race they have ever laid their eyes on. They used to call them pale faces. Yeah. You know, most of these fellows, that very sickly type of white color. You can see. It is not a beautiful color. You know, that some people have that golden color, which is very nice. But many people have this, and then these pimples, you know, all over. Yeah? Anyway, the point is, we are creatures of our habits. Our appreciation of food, or something nice smelling, this is all dependent upon our habits, to a great extent. Anyway, the point is, if we can offer the fruits of our actions, every action to God, that means that whatever God wants, let Him give. Then, you see, our mind instantaneously, because there is no expectation, it becomes peaceful. That is what the Lord is telling. Kartum madhyogam ashritaha sarva karma phalatyagam Tatah kuru yata atmavan, with great effort. That also needs every time we forget, because we are accustomed to expect results. We are accustomed to be selfish. To offering fruits to God means it is to become unselfish. I have given. So if he gives, fine. If he doesn't give, fine. If he gives something unexpected, that is also fine. This is called unselfishness. I am only telling that God doesn't need all those things. So why should he take? So he will only give back, like a mother giving back. But that should not be our expectation. Yes, I am giving it to you, offering them to you, with the expectation that you will give back to me. Sooner or later.
Lema, Ganga.
Lema. Lema. Dema.
Dema
Prasad. There was one fellow used to cross Ganges every day by boat. You know, Ganga is considered as a mother goddess. So he never used to offer anything to mother. So one day he felt very guilty. So he took out a 10-rupee note and said, "Mother, please accept this." He threw on the Ganga. Next moment he said, "Mother, give me prasad." And he took back his 10-rupee note. Most of us are, this is called sakama bhaktas. We always expect something to come back. That is where we can be disappointed. But if this attitude, not only to God, to anything, if you want to do it, but don't expect. Then, whether the fruit comes or not, our minds will be filled with peace. It doesn't get agitated. That is the idea. So the Lord is telling these three steps, which will lead to the final step. First thing is, whatever actions you do, offer the results to God. Second, he is telling, try to transform every action into a godly action. Associate every action. This is not office work, because it is office work, but it doesn't belong to the officer. You know you are working, your boss is there. Your boss, is he the owner of this Rockwell?
No.
So he has his own boss. Is he the owner of? So, then his boss. Ultimately, you know, most of the companies, who are the bosses? Bosses
CEO.
Of?
The CEO.
We? Suppose you have shares.
The customer.
You are one of, you are one of the bosses. But who is your boss? I am the master of my house with the kind permission of my wife. Click. Okay. So the ultimate boss is who created this own universe?
God.
So to whom does this belong?
God.
Ultimate boss is God. So if we can please him, he can promote us, he can give anything he likes. Without work also he can give, okay, every year, I will retire you. Every year with only $1 billion retirement fee. This is how many funny things, you know. This BBC executive director. He says, "I take only $1 salary." Yes, $1 salary. But the traveling expenses is only $1 million a month. Salary is only $1 a month. Many people deceive like that. And then when for some reason the company is not prospering, they will kick him out. Then he will get £5 or £6 million, as you know, they have to termination fees and all those things. How wonderful it is. Then immediately they will be rehired by somebody else. Anyway, so first, so you offer the results of every actions to the Lord. Next, if it will be nice if you can convert every action into my action, association with me. And the next, you know, is constantly think of me with vairagya. So then your buddhi will be fixed in me and your thoughts also will be fixed in me. Then you will advance in spiritual life, you will attain me. So to emphasize this point, he is telling, Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat jnana dhyanam visishyate dhyanat karma valatyagaha tyagat shantiranantaram. So our final goal is shanti. Shanti means what?
Peace.
See, many times we do not understand. Peace means, you know, it is a state of mind where you neither experience any joy nor experience any pain. This is unfortunately associated with the meaning of the word shanti. That is not at all. Peace means the mind is filled with so much joy. That is real peace. You know, just to give you, when a student is working very hard preparing for his exams, what is the state of his mind? Filled with worry, anxiety, fear and all those things. And then he writes examinations to the best of his ability. That he is filled with anxiety, what would be the result? Did I commit some mistake? Or the examiner also might commit mistake. But the day the results are announced, then he finds he has come out first class first. You know what is the state of his mind? Now fear gone, anxiety gone, hesitation gone, worry gone. The mind is filled with a kind of peace. And that peace, is it, you know, not neither experiencing joy nor experiencing pain, or is it filled with
joy.
Tremendous amount of joy? That is called peace. So he is again telling, the Lord is telling, better indeed is knowledge than blind abhyasa. Meditation with knowledge is more esteemed than mere knowledge. Then meditation, the renunciation of the fruit of action. Peace immediately follows renunciation. So what is he telling? Karma falatyaga is better than dhyana. Dhyana is better than jnana. Jnana is better than abhyasa. What is abhyasa? A person is going on sitting. Every day he does japa, dhyana, what we call dhyana, etc. Mechanically. He has no understanding what is the process of meditation or japa. He has no understanding why he is doing it. He has no understanding where it is leading him. Just, you know, it is a practice. It is my practice. Most of us are like that. We don't seem to say, what am I supposed to gain? So what is it supposed to happen if I go on meditating? Nothing is happening. A fellow is turning page after page. Nothing is entering his brain. What is the use of that? This is called blind abhyasa. That will not do. So he says, if a person has no abhyasa but jnana, then that is far superior. At least he knows. Nobody can deceive him. It's because this blind abhyasa is just tamasic life. But if a person can meditate with knowledge, that is far superior to blind abhyasa. Even if he meditates now and then with full knowledge, that is far better than every day doing blind abhyasa.
Maharaj,
huh?
Even with blind abhyasa, though, it is supposed to, wouldn't God be gracious and at least grant him some knowledge?
Nobody had ever said this. You see, there is something called Arthavada. Arthavada means, in Vedic statements, there are statements which are directly related to a particular subject matter. So, for example, let me give you an example, taking Gita, Gita Mahatmya. Gita Mahatmya says, if any person reads even half a shloka of Gita, then for 100 crore lifetimes, he will go to Goloka and enjoy apsarasas. This is called Arthavada. Arthavada means what? It is eulogy. It is not directly related with the real thing. It is to induce him that if you can, you know, get so much result by reading half a shloka, you can read at least, you know, one shloka, you can read one adhyaya, or you can read two adhyayas or 18 adhyayas. It is not the meaning, I do not mean reading. It means when he reads, then he understands what is the message of the Gita. As Sri Ramakrishna says, when you get a letter, then you got a letter from your village,
right,
then you lost it. You are searching furiously for it. And after long searching, you get it. And what is written? That buy these things before you come to the village. Once you have that knowledge, what do you work with the letter? Yes, you discard so many emails. You know how much I renounce every day? Yeah. You don't recognize my greatness. Every day I get offers, you know. You have been awarded $10 million. Means some Nigerian friends, you know. And every day they are sending me these emails. I just renounce it. See? So, the Arthavada means it is only to make us understand, push us. That is like advertisement. Push us, push us. You know, they say that this is there in the Gospel also. Jubati meher kol, magur macher jhol, bol hari bol.
Right.
So, see, fellows who do not understand, oh, I get, you know, these things, let me repeat Hari Nama. But, you know, at the end they do get much, much more than this. But it is to induce them first, you know, what is called self-starter, you know, the old time self-starter, cranker, that is, Arthavada is that.
Dangling the bait. Maharaj, so it is like dangling the bait?
Yes.
So Maharaj, like if you do japa, but if you don't know the meaning of japa,
yeah,
you don't get any result. I mean, you are...
No. You don't need to worry about it. If you know the idea, you see, you are repeating, your guru has given you some mantra. Perhaps you don't know the meaning of this mantra at all. But one thing you know, that I am praying to the Divine Mother.
Yes.
That will do. You don't need to know the etymological meaning of, you know, that story I told you, you know, Kushmanda.
Huh?
But you are a pumpkin.
Oh. That's...
You don't remember the story?
No, I think you did that.
You know, there was a,
in a big
town, there was a mantrik, and he had so much power that if a serpent bites somebody, snake bite, then he will do this mantra, and immediately the patient will be freed from the snake bite effects.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
So he was very famous. Any time anybody is bitten by a snake, he would be called. So there was a simpleton in a village who was very eager to learn this mantra. So one day he came with all bhakti, shraddha, prostrated before him and told, "Sir, you be my guru, please teach me that mantra." And the guru looked down upon him, You know, he is a village idiot. Then you are, he simply said, Kushmanda.
Okay.
Yeah. But the fellow did not know what is the meaning of Kushmanda. He said, my guru has given me this mantra. So he went, started repeating. Very soon after that, he also started curing snake bites. So some fellow was bitten, there was no mantra. This fellow said, I know the mantra. So the other fellow said, what do I lose? So this fellow repeated his Kushmanda, Kushmanda, and put his hand on that, immediately the snake bite removed. So very soon, his name also started to spread. So after some months, it so happened that the daughter of that king of that place was bitten by a poisonous snake. And this mantrik, famous mantrik, was called, but his mantra did not work. What to do? The girl was about to die. Somebody heard about this second man. He said, there is another mantrik. Why not we try? The king said, what else? This mantrik failed. So what do we lose? Let us call him. Immediately he came. All were present, including his guru also. And immediately he uttered his mantra, passed his hands, and the girl sat up free from poison. And that mantri who could not cure, he was surprised. So he said, who is your guru who gave you the mantra? He said, sir, you don't you recognize me? You are my guru, you gave me the mantra. Mantra, I don't remember having given any mantra to anybody. So can you repeat, tell me what it is? Yes, yes, Kushmanda, you gave me the mantra. You know, the power of faith. This is the root of what you call pranic healing, faith healing and all that. That it is faith which cures, not the mantra by itself doesn't have any power. So when we go on repeating, what happens is the faith is generated. And that will faith means knowledge. That is the real result that we are looking at. So you don't need to understand the etymological meaning of the any word, any mantra. In fact, how many people understand the meaning of mantras? All right. Ramakrishna. Tell me, what is the meaning of Ramakrishna? Etymological meaning of Ramakrishna.
See? But who is Rama?
Is all the
goodness
of Rama? No, that is not the meaning. Anything. First come to this. Don't die. Distract my attention.
We read Maharaj.
Later on. Tell me the meaning of Ramakrishna.
All his
gunas. I'm not talking about gunas. I'm talking about etymological meaning of Ramakrishna. Like your name, Nandini. What is the meaning of Nandini?
One who delights.
What is the meaning of Rama?
It's Rama.
Ramayate iti Ramaha. He who brings delight to the beholders. Any man looking at Rama, immediately his heart is filled with tremendous joy.
Oh,
Krishna. What is the etymological meaning of Krishna? Karshati iti Krishna. He is so attractive. The moment anybody's eyes fall, immediately, like a hook, you know, he will pull the man. So Ramakrishna is, you know, both Rama and Krishna, he pulls and he also delights you. This is the meaning of Ramakrishna. But you don't need to know all that etymological meaning. If you know, this is my mother, this is my father, more than enough. You know, a small child cannot even call his father. He only says pa. And so that is that not enough to bring down the love of father?
Yes.
That is the real idea. Don't worry about language. Yeah. So if we go on offering, meditating with this idea. I'm not talking about etymological meaning. The idea that I am trying to be nearer to my real parent, who is God. That is far better than dry knowledge. You know, there, what is the difference between dry knowledge? Knowledge is better than blind, see? To get knowledge is better than doing something without any mind. But dry knowledge, you know, I know all the shastras, I know all the etymological meanings, but I don't feel it. That is no use. So meditating even with a little bit of idea that I am thinking of my mother, that is far superior. But the best thing is that to offer all the karma phala to the Lord. Why? Because here selfishness is completely gone. The man becomes, it is sarva karma phala tyaga, means complete self-surrender. So if a man can surrender himself to God, that is the ultimate. There is nothing more is needed. So this is what the Lord is trying to tell. Better indeed is knowledge than blind abhyasa. Meditation with knowledge is more esteemed than mere knowledge. But more than meditation, the renunciation of the fruit of action. Why is it superior, offering the fruit of action? You know, because the man is totally becomes dependent upon God. Before that, what is he dependent upon?
Self.
Karma. Don't you see? You are a person who doesn't offer the result of karma. He is dependent upon what?
Karma.
See, you will,
on his,
whatever actions you do, without bhakti or anything, you are depending upon your expectation. If supposing somebody says that you work 7 days a week, but we won't give you any salary. Will you work? Will you work 6 days? Will you work 5 days? Will you work 1 day? Will you work 1 minute? See how much she understands? This is what we are all. We are totally dependent upon our expectations. This is the motive power for all our actions. But when a person says, I am offering all the fruits of my actions to you, O Lord, he is also dependent. But what is he dependent upon now?
God.
Upon God. So what can be better than be dependent upon God? That is what he means really. Otherwise many people misunderstand this. I just give the things to God, then what is going to happen to me? Here also I don't get. There also I don't get. No, it is total dependence upon God. This is called sannyasa. Sannyasa means dependency upon God. Not simply giving up. If you cannot give up, somebody has to look after you. Either the world has to look after you or God has to look after you. How beautifully he is expounding, you know, is nothing but pure psychology. Put in theological terms, religious terminology. Beautiful. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramarkam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagatgurum. Very good. All of you, please go upstairs. You want to talk with Srinivas?
Oh.